Amen. This morning I want to talk about Psalm 103. There's a lot in it, so I'm going to go verse by verse, except verse 19, because I couldn't find any revelation from other people. So anyhow, let's read the first verse. It says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name." I like the King James better because it has "bless the Lord," and there's a lot richer meaning in "bless." It's abundantly blessed with adoration and affectionately and gratefully praise the Lord. And I looked up soul in Hebrew, and it means breath, life, life force, seat of emotions and desires. And in quotes, the inmost being is the very breath of life with all the deepest depth of the spirit, soul, body, heart, and mind. We will praise his holy name with all our strength. In verse 2 and 3, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." Again, it uses bless and praise and adoration to the Lord. We need to remember that God does not forget even one of his benefits, for he forgives all our sins, he heals all our diseases and sicknesses. And this applies today in our society. As God leads, we can heal those that are around us, and we can be healed. That's the full gospel, and Jesus showed us throughout the New Testament that he can heal. So that is a blessing to us, that we're totally forgiven and that we are healed. Verse 4, "Who redeemed your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion?" He redeems or delivers us from the life of living in the slimy, miry, decaying pit like a dungeon. Like I was delivered from depression in that deep dungeon. There are many other dungeons, such as dealing with fears, anxiety, doubts, anger, jealousy, envy, pornography, all sorts of sexual and material lusts, pride, arrogance, etc. And 4b it talks about the crown, and that is crowning us with beauty, crowning us with integrity, and long and loving kindness and tender mercy. In verse 5, "Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles?" I looked up "satisfy" in Hebrew, and it has the definition of having enough, being content, overflowing of appetites and desires, been filled, have abundance, and get plenty. The Lord abundantly meets our desires with good things so that we are content. And youth are renewed and restored like soaring eagles. And if you've ever seen an eagle soaring on high, they can go up to 50,000 feet. And they're just such a majestic bird. And in the midst of storms and winds, they still are strong and they are able to overcome the storms. So the Lord abundantly meets your desires with good things to you and are content. You, excuse me, come on. I was fortunate enough to see an eagle close up. And they are amazing birds. When I was up fishing up north several years ago, we used to kill one of the fish we caught and put it on a lily pad because there's an eagle up in the tree looking at us. And so we'd roll about 10 or 15 feet away and we watched the eagle come in and grab the fish in talons and fly off. They are such majestic and beautiful birds. So I hope you guys can still hear me because the screen's gone blank on me. It's got a phone on it, and I don't see any correction on it, so I will continue.
We're still good, Roger. We can hear and see you.
Okay, good, 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 good. Thank you, Henry. In verse 6 and 7, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. Okay, the Lord executes righteousness and justice not only for us, but all who are tormented and downcast. God had deep intimacy with Moses and gave him revelations and made himself known into the character of God through the Ten Commandments and seeing his backside of God. God also revealed to himself through deeds, actions, and showed favor toward the people of Israel through miracles such as feeding them in the midst of the desert, the manna, having streams of water, rivers of water coming out of rocks, and then having the pillar of fire at night to keep them warm, and during the day having the cloud covering to keep them from burning up in the desert. So looking at verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. The Lord is merciful and gracious. In Exodus 34, 6, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. So you see that God, passed, by Moses, and he showed that he is very slow to anger, and that he is truly abounding in love that we can't fathom. We, well, I'd like to look at Numbers 14, 18. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, and forgiving sins and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. So we see that God is slow in anger in venting his wrath. God, we can't understand that, he is a jealous God and he's angry with us when we fall away, as the Israelites did. But he is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, a love that is far beyond our imaginations. In verse 9 and 10, I'll get to the right place in a second. Okay, there we go. Verse 9 and 10. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. And he does not rebuke or accuse or harbor his anger. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Hallelujah. It's only a matter of just seconds that his anger lasts. To him, now it may feel like it's years or months or days that we are agonizing as a result of many circumstances that we are bombarded with. And then in Psalm 32, 1 and 2, where David is speaking, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. So God doesn't deal fully with our sin. If he did, we'd all be dead. He shows his great mercy and his vast love. In verse 11, it states, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him." And I want to look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and how deep the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We need to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep the love of God is for us. It's far beyond our imagination. And it's actually the deep love of the Father, of the Son, Jesus, and of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. love that surpasses mere knowledge and is immeasurable. But we receive love. We receive love because we revere and are in awe of God. So it is, in order to receive God's love, we need to walk in fear, in revelation, in reverence, is what I'm trying to say, and awe of God. He wants that relationship with him so we might be able to experience his love. Then verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. It really is amazing that God removes our sins as far as the east is the west. Think of this. A satellite is up in the heavens and it continues to circle around the earth and circle around the earth and circle around the earth. That's the same as the forgiveness of our sins. God removes them completely. You know, it's for eternity that those sins are forgiven. So we need to rejoice when we repent. God hears us and he forgives us. Quoting Spurgeon, he has a tender heart. He never strikes without regret, but his love always flows freely. No mother or father is half so mild and loving as the Lord of hosts. God's compassion and love is far beyond our understanding. Who knows it? And this is something that is, we continue through our walks in the Lord to learn about God's love and learning how to love ourselves and learning how to love others. So it says I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, verse 12. We said that already. Verse 12 continues in Isaiah 1:18, which states the following: "Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they will be like wool." Our sins, by the blood of Jesus, have been washed white as snow, as also the as like a lamb, the white coat that they have. And then I want to look at Jeremiah 31:34d. "For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." So again, God speaks his truth more than once. And we know that it is the truth, that he truly has forgiven our wickedness. He's forgiven our sins. And he's forgiven our weaknesses and remembers our sins no more. And then in Micah 7:18-19, "Who is God like you, who pardons sins and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again love compassion on us. Excuse me, you will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depth of the sea. So he pardons our sins, he forgives our transgressions, and it's as deep as the ocean depths. And I think I think the deepest part is like around 2 miles or a little bit more than that. And so it is buried, it is finished. Our iniquities are removed as far as the east is to the west. Then in verse 13 and 14, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. We remember that we are dust. See, he remembers that we are dust. God shows us his compassion, his mercy. He takes pity on us. Quoting Spurgeon, it says, he has a tender heart. He never strikes without regret, but his love always flows freely. No mother or father is half so mild and loving as the Lord of hosts. God has great compassion and love far beyond our mere understanding. Then going on to, one more thing, verse that he remembers that we are made of dust. In Genesis 2:7, it states this: then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Like life is short, our grass and flower flourish. But when the winds come, and the heat comes, they wither. I was doing some research. Spurgeon talked about these hot winds in the Old Testament during this period of time. These hot winds from Africa called Sirocco burned up the metals immediately. Lives are like a puff of winds, and we are gone. In verse 17 and 18, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. With those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Again, his love is everlasting to everlasting, with deep devotion and covenant promise of God's Savior, Jesus Christ, his love gift for those who revere God. It's important that we humble ourselves and we come into the presence of God with fear and trembling, with deep reverence and awe. And we must keep his covenant, his laws. We must obey them. And obey means to listen, and it also is an action to do the commandments and do the laws. Righteousness means prosperity, deliverance, well-being. It's passed down from generation to generation because the Israelite parents and our parents walked with God in love and righteousness, and they go from generation to generation as wickedness does. It's passed down from generation to generation to the fourth generation, I think it is. And with the righteous, it's passed down, I can't remember how many generations, but it's passed down for a long time. Then in verse 20, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his biddings, who obey his word. We can't praise the Lord with the force and power as an angel does. We need to have the angel in our strength and to know how to worship the Lord, because they are in the presence of the Lord continuously. So they know how to worship, and we need to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ and have our ears opened up to the angels rejoicing, that we can rejoice with beyond our understanding. We need to praise the Lord with all our strength, with all our mind, with all our heart, and with all our soul. That's Spurgeon's and my insights. Praise the Lord with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul. And this is being repeated multiple times. I'm doing that intentionally because this is what God wants us to do. So we must do his bidding or his commandments and obey, listen to God's word. Your actions are your praise. I'm going to say that again. Your actions are your praise. That's a quote from Spurgeon. In other words, your worship are your actions. Your faith must be put into action. Again, going back, our worship are our actions. Whatever we do in life should be worship unto God. We allow Jesus to live and move and have his being through us, that we might be able to live a life that radiates Jesus Christ, that radiates his love and his joy and his peace and his hope and his understanding and compassion and his empathy. We must walk with him. Verse 21 and 22. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everything in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. I like the King James Version using bless the Lord and oh my soul. And it says, bless the Lord, all his works, and the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Going back to verse 21, all things and all forces and powers of nature are calling on men to praise the Lord and the hosts of God. The organs of the omnipotent ring out and ring out the grand chorus. Bless ye the Lord. And this is quoting Spurgeon. All the angels of the Lord praise him with great power. The organs in the very innermost being of God. And this is how he wants us to worship him, in the deepest depth, the innermost being of our hearts and our minds. Remember in the scripture from King James, it says, "O my soul," remember, soul means breath, life, life force, seat of emotions and desires. In other words, we are to praise the Lord with the very depth of our emotions and desires, with every breath we breathe and every place we go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen.